Hi, this is Bill Woods, and I just wanted to bring you this week's message. You know, we sometimes flounder in our faith when things go wrong. That's what I want to talk to you about today is when things go wrong, I want to remind you God is still there and God is still on the throne. I want to talk about John the Baptist and some of the hard time he was having at the end of his life. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15 says, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or are we expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist, and yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one of the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." You know, it's a blessing to be a Christian, but this world's under a curse. Things go wrong. Plans fail. Sometimes our goals don't turn out like we had hoped they would. And tragedy strikes. Death takes its toll. Pain is a part of everyday life. Even Christianity isn't all that some claim it to be. We know we can have joy in trials, and God works all things together for good, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, but sometimes it's hard to see the good. Some days our faith wanes. We wonder where God is. John the Baptist was the greatest man born of woman other than Jesus. He was a preacher. He was bold and courageous. He challenged the morals of King Herod, pointed out his sin. Can you imagine telling President Biden he's living in sin? I mean, he's committing adultery and he's not right with God. Somebody needs to do that, but I'll tell you what, they would take their life in their own hands if they did that right now. Don't expect to be invited to pray at the opening prayer in Congress or to be invited to the White House for counsel. In John's day, that would land you in prison, and it did. Matthew 11, 2 and 3, John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing, so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" The prisons were different than today. No AC or air conditioning, no library, no weight room to work out and keep in shape, no cable TV. It was a dingy, dark, rat-infested, bug-infested hole in the ground, a dungeon. I was thinking back to Sheriff Joe Arpaio and how he fed his prisoners green bologna sandwiches, made them wear pink underwear. That would have been a welcome sight back in the days of John the Baptist. This was the end of the road for John. He'd lived his final days in what seemed like failure, embarrassment, and shame. He lived his whole life for the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, even before he was born. He had surrendered at a very early age to be God's spokesman, a forerunner to the Messiah. His entire life was spent doing God's will. Now here he is spending his final days in prison, and it wasn't going to get better. You know, you don't read that John was rescued from prison like Peter was in Acts, or there was no earthquake that freed him like Paul and Silas got freed. He died in prison. He was beheaded at the hands of Herod. It wouldn't be appropriate for him to sing "Something Good Is Going to Happen Today." He didn't need Ken Hagin's book, "Godliness is Profitable," or Joel Osteen's bestseller, "Your Best Life Is Now." John's life is an example for us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, says that John was perplexed. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing, and so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" John began to have doubts, and you can bet that Satan was right there planting these thoughts in his mind. But he sent his disciples with a message. "Ask Jesus if he really is the Messiah, or should we look elsewhere? Was Jesus really who he claimed to be? Was there ever a time when John knew for a fact that Jesus was the Messiah?" Well, sure there was. He walked before Jesus saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He didn't have any doubts then. Why does he have doubts now? Well, because he's in prison and times are tough. He was used to better circumstances. He envisioned a better end for his life than this. He's in a valley with no mountains in sight. Prison was not part of his plan. He's saying, "Jesus, if you're really the Messiah, why am I here? Don't tell me this is part of the script. Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this?" You know, many Christians serve God for years. They see him work in their lives and in the church, and they rejoice over his miracles. They experience some glorious days. Through ups and downs, they learn and grow and roll with the punches, but in time things slow down for them spiritually. Their excitement wanes, the freshness fades, their vision for God diminishes, their attitude weakens. They have seen it all before. New converts come and go and make it. Some of them don't. People transfer in and out. You know, I hear people say, "Well, I've sung this hymn a million times. I've heard this illustration before. The missionary slides were interesting. That was nice scenery. He really seemed to have a burden for those people. He had a lot of baptisms." That's good if there are real decisions. We'll see, I guess. What's wrong with the sound system? I don't like the pastor. I don't like the way he preaches. There doesn't seem to be any spiritual food. You'd think they could get the temperature right in here. They hit a downhill grade. The victories and mountaintops of yesterday didn't lead all the way to heaven after all. Their family started out so good, but didn't end up as they had imagined. The glory days at church were short-lived, and a generation has passed, and nothing has happened since. That probably won't. This phase we're in the church is a passing fancy. People let you down. I don't know if I'll ever trust people again. They grow cynical and become doubt-minded, and that's exactly where John the Baptist was. Strange, but this is comforting to me. To know a man of John the Baptist's stature was in tough circumstances and felt depressed and had doubts, that shows me that I'm normal. I'm not a spiritual freak for having low times after all. If John the Baptist had doubts, we'll all go through periods of doubt. If you've been saved for any time at all, you remember times when you went through doubts. I mean, you doubted God's love. "God, if you love me, why do I have to go through this?" or God's power. Why don't you fix this situation, Lord? I know you could if you wanted to, but we doubt God's justice. How can you let them get away with that, Lord? Why do they seem to have so much money and all the blessings? And look, I'm struggling. We doubt God's return. Will you come back in my lifetime? God's man, how long will this one make it here? Your salvation. Almost all believers have doubts at some time. So when these things begin to happen, you need to turn your eyes on Jesus. Remember, Satan's right there doing everything he can to plant those thoughts in your mind. Don't listen to him. Rebuke him and send him on his way. All believers have doubts, and doubts certainly would come when you're in prison in the valley like John the Baptist was. What's your prison? Is it finances? Is it physical sickness? Are you having problems with your family, domestic things? Is it disappointment and discouragement and depression? Maybe it's marital conflict. You thought, Lord, what gives? I've done all I know to do. I've tried to be faithful servant to you with my tithe and with my time. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. What are you doing, Lord? Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we be looking for someone else? What was the reason for John's perplexity? Well, in a nutshell, John had doubts because Jesus hadn't lived up to his preconceived notions, John's mind of what he should be and what he should do. John formed a mold in his mind that Jesus should fit into, and when Jesus didn't fit it, John had doubts. John didn't have a big picture, didn't have the big picture. John had an incomplete revelation of who God is. He didn't understand Jesus had to come the first time to suffer, bleed, and die for our sins, but the next time he'd come, he'd set up his kingdom. John had doubts because he couldn't see the big picture. Notice how Jesus responded to John's doubts. This next passage is comforting to me because it shows me that when I have doubts, God understands. He knows I'm just human, and He knows how to help me. Notice the tact and tenderness that Jesus used. Matthew 11:4-5 says, Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Jesus was quoting Isaiah 35:5-6 that had been written hundreds of years earlier. And it says, and when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. Jesus told them, tell John these things. Jesus knew that John would recognize these as the very credentials that he, the Messiah, was to have. Notice the tenderness. Matthew 11:6 says, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me, aren't angry with me, don't doubt me, even when they don't understand. John didn't have the big picture, and most of us, don't have it either. Why does cancer take away some of our best people, you wonder? Why does an accident rob us of a loved one? Or why did my child die? Why can't my girl focus? Why does a man of God being used mightily fall morally and take others with him? Why did the child we raised in church do 180 degrees and mess up their life? Why did my spouse abandon me? We have all these questions. We try to find answers. Some cause, some root of sin, something to blame. But the search for answers leads down dark, winding, dead-end streets we shouldn't venture down. When you don't know the why, you need to learn to trust the who. Simple faith believes God is good and loves us unconditionally, would never hurt us. Simple faith remembers we don't have the big picture. One day we're going to stand before God and He'll unfold our life. We will see the big picture and say, oh, now I understand why you had to use those dark colors over here and insert those bland areas. It's the only way it could have worked. Now I see the big picture. Wow, all things really do work together for good. There's a song, we'll understand it by and by, and that's what's going to happen. You know, Marty does all these jigsaw puzzles. They can make me go crazy, maybe you too. Once she had one with curved edges. It was kind of it was supposed to be a paint blob. There wasn't anything but just the one color. And she said the designer should have been shot. I don't think she ever finished that one. I don't help her when she has her puzzles, but if I did, I would stare at the pieces until my eyes crossed, and I would be tempted to get scissors and make some pieces fit. Being colorblind doesn't help either. Marty looks at the picture on the box. Just looking at the pieces makes no sense, so she looks at the picture, the big picture on the box. You know, from our perspective, all we see are mixed up pieces in life. Someday God will put it all together for us, then we'll see the big picture. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. In that prison, John could no longer see him. All he saw was his circumstances. So it was for Peter walking on the water. When he looked around at the waves and the storm, he sank. But when he looked back to Jesus, he was okay. Are you having trouble? Are you in prison or in the valley? When you don't know the why, trust the who. I mean, if you're having financial problems or family problems, health problems, emotional problems, go to God and ask Him for help here. Ask Him for strength. He promised that, you know, He'd never leave us or forsake us. He promised us our day would be our strength. And when you find that you're doubting, you know, you're tired of people disappointing you, stop asking why. Put your eyes back on the who. Who is it that's going to help you through? It's God. God's still on the throne. He's in control of our country and all the affairs of men, and He will accomplish His own good and His own will in His own time. Father, help us, I pray, to learn to turn to You and trust You. Sometimes we go through hard places, and sometimes we're like John the Baptist. We want to cry out, are You really the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? But God, we know that You are the Messiah, that Jesus Christ came to pay the debt for our sin. And when we call upon You, Lord, and repent of our sins, we can become part of Your family, part of Your kingdom. Help us to realize whatever doubts, whatever things we go through here on earth, it's just temporary. It's just at most 80 or 100 years. And what is that compared to eternity? Help us, Lord, to get ready. Help that one that's listening right now that doesn't know You as his Savior to confess his sins, to accept You, and to learn to love You. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know how to get a hold of me. You can write me a note or something, a box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can text me at my phone number, 623-845-2741. Or if you wanted to talk direct, you could call me and we can have prayer and talk together. Again, that's 623-845-2741. I just hope that, you know, you learn that God is still on the throne and God will take you through if you'll put your hand in His and keep your eyes on Him and do His will. I will be preaching, Lord willing, tomorrow morning at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. That's at the corner of First Avenue in Buffalo. I'm going to be talking about the king that assumed too much, and I'd love to have you come. It's going to be a good service, and start, you know, you might start out by coming to Sunday school at 9:45, And then morning worship's at 11 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, we're going to be studying about Elijah again. And we're going to be studying about, you know, all the different things that he's done and how he cheated a man out of his vineyard. And I think it's going to be worthwhile. Well, God bless. I'll talk to you next week. And I hope that you will live for Jesus Christ this week. Learn to trust him because he's there and he loves you very, very much. I wasn't sure how I said that. It wasn't Elijah that cheated a man out of his vineyard. It was Ahab who cheated Naboth out of his vineyard. I just wanted to correct that if you're still listening, because I know the difference. Thank you. God bless. And we'll talk to you later.